Temple Assembly on Sunday. Don't know where everybody is on Tuesday, Wednesday, or even next Sunday. But that was really nice, the attendance and some of the response and different things. Really amazes me the phenomenon of coming to church once or twice a year. I've not understood that, even though I've experienced it all my life, even in the denominational church that I grew up in. And just something about 2 days a year, people that won't come the whole year, they'll come those two. I don't understand that. I think if I didn't come 50 weeks, 50 Sundays out of the year, I'd, you know, skip those two more. But it's a phenomenon, and I pray and try to have a lot to say in a brief time. It was so interesting Sunday. I spent some laborious time putting it together because I knew it would be that kind. I wanted one lesson that would pull together what we've been doing plus the atonement on Easter. I didn't get the 5.5 pages that we were supposed to do Sunday. 5.5 pages. So I don't know if we'll ever get to it in this study. We'll get to some of it because some of it's pertinent. We'll probably do it before. Well, my plans are to finish the Easter study a week from tomorrow night. And then that means the next Sunday will be communion, and then we can get right back into our momentum starting in May. So right now that's what I'm looking at doing. And as part of that, where we are, just jumping with no review, no anything, there are the first 5 chapters of Leviticus are the first, are the 5 offerings. There is the burnt offering, and I'm going to put these on the board now. There is the burnt offering, and that one, well, we're going to look at all of these. There's the burnt offering, and then there's the meal offering. Meal, bloodless. There's the meal offering. There is some fire, but there's no blood. This is a bloodless offering. And then there is the peace offering. There is the peace offering. And we'll kind of put some of these together to show you what is being seen. There is the sin offering. And then there is the trespass. Okay. These are the 5 offerings. And you have, and I gave you a handout of the 5 offerings a couple of weeks ago, or last week. And so you have those. But let me give you 5 introductory points before we even get started. I made them very simple, but let me give these to you so that we can see what's going on in the 5. This is chapter 1 of Leviticus, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5 of Leviticus. Point 1, all the sacrifices, all these offerings are given by God for the worship of the people and was designed to keep up the awareness of the effects of sin, to teach of His grace and love and offering, and to encourage faith in His promised Redeemer. And again, just to make this very clear, very simple, just look at it, if you will, of coming to what we call church, Bible class, assembly, worship, whatever words you like to use. I use a lot of different words to describe a meeting here. And we open the text, and we read, we're studying different books, we're studying different chapters, we're studying different subjects. Well, that's what you have going on here. As we'll see, this is like opening up different books. This is dealing with different issues in life. And there's a lot of theology here, but very simple if we'll see it. Okay, point 2. They were designed by God. All of these offerings now, all these offerings are designed by God to be a type of and teach of the coming Messiah. God's gracious offering. Now, the coming Messiah. They were looking for the coming Messiah. The word Messiah is anointed. The anointed one. The Christ. Christ means Messiah. If we want to be correct, we say Jesus, the Messiah. Jesus, the anointed. Jesus, the Christ. So all of this, all of these are designed by God. Just as you and I have so many different ways of studying the person of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. All of these are designed to keep them looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. We don't have these offerings and feasts. What you and I have is Bible class, Bible services, worship, assembly. That's why it says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves. A lot of Christians claim they're walking in the Spirit, but they don't have to assemble themselves. They don't have to. Somehow or another, they're okay with God out there in their, you know, yaya land. Just them and God. And while that doesn't sound good, here I am up in my mountain in Colorado or my apartment in Dallas, and boy, I'm just so in tune with God, and I don't need to be with people. I don't need to meet with others. I don't need the communion. I don't need to sing. I don't need anything. It's more God and I. We're so close. That sounds so good. Until you come to truth. Until you come to truth. Is that really a leading of the Spirit, as we find in Scripture? So that's what all of this is. This is what God is doing. Okay, that's point two. Point three. Each of the animals were to represent Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed, in some aspect of His work on the cross, His offering of Himself. Each of these teach something different about it, about the Messiah. We do it how? Theologically. We do it how? Christology. Christology is the study of Christ. So we're going to spend the time, and we'll, you know, spend 150,000 points on the person of Jesus Christ, and only then not even begin to really touch all there is. There's so much. So what each of these are designed to do by God is to focus some aspect of the work of Christ in their relationship with God. People, I know sometimes it sounds like to you I'm being redundant, but it is so important that we see this whole thing that we saw Sunday morning, that here is God and man in union, and then man sins, and so you have God, and you have sin, and then man, and the great question, how? Right here is why you have all the different churches, denominations, movements, on what you have to do for to be united with God, reconciled with God, again, as a non-Christian, as a Christian. That is the basic and bottom line of the whole deal. We have studied the Bible, and this is how man is united with God as an unbeliever and again as a Christian. No, we have studied, our scholars have studied the Bible, this is how. And then you have all these churches that you and I pass all over throughout America. Not even going outside of our own country. So it is so important. How are we going to be? Well, each of these animals were to represent, or each of these offerings were to represent something about the Messiah as to what He was doing and what He does on the cross. Okay. Now, four. But something else. Something else is important here. And it's really, again, important to us in the church. We know now that the sacrifice, the offerings, even the feasts, which we're not looking at right now, are important as a type of Christ, the pattern of Christ. But people, so is the priest. And I really want you to appreciate that. We don't deal a whole lot in the church with Jesus Christ as our high priest. We are, in our communion series study, on Communion Sunday in Hebrews 8, seeing important to the high priest. But the high priest is very important. The priesthood is very important in all of this. He also is a picture of the coming Messiah the anointed, the Christ. Things that you read, if you were to read, we haven't taken the time and won't, reading through all of Leviticus and other places in the Bible, but all of these things that you're going to see about the priesthood, you're learning, if we see it correctly, if we allow the Spirit to open our eyes, we're seeing things about our high priest, Jesus Christ. So the priesthood becomes very important. So as we will see, Jesus Christ is both high priest, making the offering, and also he is the offering. Oh, people, that's why I started the first Sunday, Isaiah 28. You can read this and see, do and do, do and do. Or you can read and say, okay, you know, in this stuff, boy, he sure makes a lot out of the priest. It's the sacrifice. Okay, I can understand that. And the man, the giver, offer, puts his hand, I can see taking my place. But why all these deals about the priest in there? And that's what people get the idea, oh, it's all ritual, and it's got to be done this way, and da-da-da-da-da. Time out. Time out. If you will allow the Spirit, as you allow him to show you what that offering, how it represents Christ, and what it, each of these teach about Jesus Christ, you will also be learning if you properly study the priest. Because he, too, is a picture. And we can learn. They could learn. And we can see what's going on about the Messiah, Jesus Christ. So, Jesus Christ is the high priest making the offering. He is also the offering itself. So, if you want to put it down, he is the offerer and the offering. By offerer, I don't mean not the believer bringing the animal in, but the high priest always had to be there to officiate. So, he is both the offerer and the offering. Okay, point five. From these offerings, burnt meal, peace, and trespass. From these offerings, we learn, they learn, Jews learned. All through for some 1,500 years, from the time it was given till the time of Jesus Christ himself, and all of this stopped with him, they learned about God. Right here. They learned about themselves. They learned about sin and what sin does between God and man. They learned about the coming Messiah. That is the Christ who will be known later as Jesus. Jesus, as that coming Messiah. And he is the way that they're reconciled with God. People, it's the same lesson wherever you go in the Bible. The message won't change. I've been trying to show y'all from Adam and Eve in the garden to Cain and Abel, Noah, Abraham, Moses, the offerings, the feast, all the way through, right up to offering my son, on and on and on. That's been my message. And y'all won't see it, y'all being the human race. You still got to work. You still won't apply it right. You won't see what I'm doing. And I, God has just done it. But people, if you've got a veil over your eyes, you will never see it. You will see do and do, until you're blue in the face and nobody can make you see it or cause you to see it. You're not going to see it. And someone can come along, like we studied in Galatians, how quickly you are running so well, how quickly you have just changed from running so well in spirituality by grace through faith in the Spirit to work. And it happened like that in Galatians, remember? How can that be? Because they never saw it. You got this veil over your eyes, boom, you're not going to see what's going on. Okay, now, what I want to do now, we can spend, easily a month on each one of these with all that's being taught there. We would have to study the preparation, the picking out of the animal, what kind of animal, what the animal represents, all that's in that sheet I gave you, and on and on and on. Then we have to study the preparation of the animal because it's got to have to be. Why? Not by law, but to teach you some things about Jesus Christ. See, what you and I would do is stand up and we would talk about the righteousness of Jesus Christ, the purity of Christ, and you and I, intellectually, with understanding of the Bible, here in front of us, taking notes, write it down. They didn't have that. I want to teach these gnomons, Jewish gnomons who travel and roaming through the wilderness and all, I want to teach them what this Messiah is going to be like. So, if this animal represents him, this animal must be flawless. Can't have a broken leg. Male. Da-da-da-da-da-da. All these things. Then what happens to him in the all of these things, they're just like you and I taking, let me give you 20 points on the purity of Christ. Let me give you 20 points on this about Christ. Let me give you 20 points on his life from being born to 5 or 7 years old. And then let me give you a point on his life in it. Then let me give you his public ministry. And then we just go on and on. And we look at all of that. Boy, they didn't know that. Yes, they did. If they saw it. And it took a long time to see it. David finally saw it. What I want to do now, I just briefly want to talk to you about the birth, the meal, the peace, the sin, rest back, and move on. I don't want to spend months. I want to spend minutes. Okay, burn offering. Burn offering. Very quickly, it's on that sheet, this part. Animal has to be a male without blemish, and the picking out of the male was according to wealth, and it was a voluntary free will offering representing given by faith. Given by faith. So it wasn't one of these deals where it's got to be just this kind of animal. There was an economic thing involved and this type of thing. Okay. Major principle. It taught the Jews. It reminded the Jews. So they would do these periodically. It reminded the Jews the only way to be reconciled or atoned was by the offering that God will give. By doing this and by going over this, it gave them, first of all, a continual reminder, kind of like our communion. It gave them peace. It gave them hope when they sinned, this kind of thing. It gave them confidence. This is the burnt offering. It gave them confidence of being in union with God. Okay, that's a broad introduction. Now let me just give you, I've got here, I do not have this for everyone, but I've got 7 things I want to say quickly about the burnt offering. One, they became aware of the effects of sin. Alienation from God. And in seeking to be reconciled with God, to be reconciled before God. Two, the burnt offering demonstrated that propitiation for sins, atonement, was taken care of, or will be taken care of, by the coming Messiah, the coming anointed. And this taught them that. Atonement was taken care of by the coming Messiah, and he will provide acceptance with God. People, this is so wonderful. We don't understand it in the church. We sometimes preachers will preach it, but they don't believe it and they don't live it in regard to one another or themselves. But I do sin, God. I am alienated from you, God. How can I come before you? This offering. And while that sounds so clear and simple to us, what if some Jew stands up over here and says yes, and what it means is it's going to happen by us doing this. We must do this, and it's by the doing of the offering that this happens. And you stand over here and say, no, 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 it is not in doing it. Well, you're a heretic. your haircut. This is one of the big things you have to appreciate. No, you don't have to. No one to. That's your business. That's an expression I use, but if you don't want to do. But appreciate with Martin Luther when he broke with the Catholic Church, and then he really didn't drop transubstantiation, but then a couple of down from him came up. No. There's nothing in the doing of communion that transmits to me something. The doing of the communion is to teach and to remind. Well, you can just see that if for hundreds of years the main body of the church, in quotes, has believed differently, and you come along and say, no, that's not it. You can just see what would happen spiritually, theologically, to you. Well, that's what happened in church history. Okay, so point here, burnt offering demonstrated that propitiation for sins, atonement, was taken care of by the coming Messiah, and providing that believers would be accepted by with God. Point three, they showed a recognition that the way to be restored with God was by His sacrifice. His sacrifice. Now, you see, I'm going to be saying a lot of here, 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 here. Do you realize people still haven't caught on today in the church? Yes, it's by the offering of Christ, but you have to be good. You can lose your salvation. And then as a Christian, you can lose your salvation. You as a Christian can commit sins God won't atone. And just keep going at this stuff. And yet, he labors this point through Scripture. I'm taking care of it. When will you get that straight? I'm taking care of it. Just trust me. And today the church in its majority still hasn't caught on. Still hasn't caught on that He takes care of atonement. He takes care of the way to. All we have to do is come to Him in faith. So, point three, recognizing that the way to be restored to God is by His sacrifice. And doing this over and over was a constant reminder as to the way of restoration as a believer was by the atoning work of Christ. Look with me, we don't have many of these in our time, but look with me at Leviticus chapter 1. Look at me at Leviticus chapter 1. And let's just look at verse 4. Verse 3, if his offering is a burnt offering. Okay, now so this is what we're looking at, the burnt offering. Verse 4, he shall lay his hand, the offerer, lay his hand on the head of the burnt offering. So that would be you. You'd bring your offering and then you would lay your hand on the head that it may be accepted for him. See? If the offering may be accepted to God or by God for him to make atonement on his behalf. Now, believers, an animal is not going to make atonement before God, not then, not ever, not now, ever. It was designed to teach these people what God wanted them to know. But this is a beautiful verse for seeing it. All of my atonement, all, unbeliever, believer, when I put my hand there, that is taking my place, and because of that sacrifice, I am atoned with God. I am propitiated before God. I am reconciled with God because of this offering. What this offering represents, the coming Messiah. How beautiful. Leviticus 1:4. Point four. Their belonging to God, that covenant bondage, we call it salvation. I'm kind of pulling off of what we're studying on Sunday for you. Belonging to God, that covenant relationship, first thing in a covenant is, how are you bonded with God? It is based on God's provision, God's doing what is acceptable to God. What you and I do is not acceptable to God. What is acceptable to God is His offering. This is why people a lot of Christians have a lot of trouble with words like repentance, confession, sorrow. We use those three big ones because they're things that happen within me. There are the things, confession, which comes off of denial, so I do acknowledge that sin. Sorrow for my sin. Repenting. Those are the things that motivated the Jew to come with his animal. They in themselves do not atone, dear people. They were never intended to atone. They are the work of the Spirit to get me to realize I am alienated or separated from God because of sin. I desire to be atoned with God. That's what they do. They are not the means like a lot of churches and movements. They make confession. They make repentance. They make sorrow the atoning work. They are not the atoning work. Are they necessary? Oh, yes, people. Are they the work of the Spirit? Oh, yes. But do they atone? So we haven't looked at it from this angle. And that's why I wanted to do that this Easter. Do they atone? Do they propitiate? Do they reconcile us with God? If I repent, by that repentance, am I reconciled with God? No. If I confess my sins, by that mere confession, am I reconciled with God? No. If I am sorrowful to the point of tears, and we take a lot of credit, boy, man, I just cried, I did so wrong, and that's important to us, but does that atone? Do you want to say that is the atoning work? Are you ready to say that in your mind? That I am reconciled with God and I am atoned with God because I repented or I confessed or I was sorrowful? Please no. This sacrifice is why I am atoned with God, and the way that I have its work on me is by faith. That's what all of these are teaching. Okay. This offering is called, the burnt offering is called the sweet savor offering. That's important to those of you that have been coming on Tuesday, Wednesday, because in Ephesians 5:2, we saw where the love of Christ caused him to lay down his life for us as a sacrifice to God, a sweet savor. A sweet savor. Pleasant to God, acceptable to God. That's what propitiates people. My repentance is not. My sorrow, my confession. But boy, when I come to him on the basis of the work of his offering, that does. That's what the sweet savor to God. God says, that is acceptable before me. Come on in. Come on in. That is acceptable. Sweet savor is a beautiful picture. Beautiful picture, because you have to remember in that day and time, they didn't have deodorants and perfumes and all of that. Especially even today. I mean, a man enjoys, you know, a very beautiful, pleasant perfume on a lady. Please, you're welcome in my company. And, you know, we have fun with it sometimes. You know, it smells like you took a bath in it. You go, my goodness, can you sit over there? I still smell you. But we're talking about how pleasant it is. A nice fragrance. How welcome. I welcome you with me. It's the fragrance is very beautiful. That's the picture of a sweet savor. The offering of his son is a sweet savor. You're welcome here. That's a pleasant aroma. Now, if we use the point, if somebody has a repulsive aroma, you know, would you please wash your feet? You know, if you stepped in something coming in, you know, this kind of thing. You're not welcome right around me. It's unpleasant. And so what we're looking at is that's our work. That's our filthy rags. That's what our works and our righteousness and our repentance and our confessions and our works for him, that's what it smells like. It's repulsive. I don't want this around me. But his son's death, his son's atoning work, oh, that, come on in. Oh, that smells good. Would you come on in? And I want to smell that, so would you sit down with me? That's God saying to you, if you come on this basis. And that's what the Jews understood, the sweet savor. I'm being welcomed to God. Now watch. I'm being welcomed to God on the basis of this fragrance. This fragrance isn't mine. This fragrance is His Son, this coming Messiah. But I am being welcomed in His presence. And that's what we want. That's what we're looking at right here. Being restored, reconciled with God. I am welcomed to Him because I have this wonderful fragrance, but it isn't mine. But I'm being welcomed as you would welcome someone. Okay, enough on that. That's Ephesians 5:2 in the New Testament. Point five. Our receiving the atoning work is by faith. That faith, now what's the object of faith? What is the object of faith in people? I want you to understand right here is where you can go out and get into arguments. And I'm very serious with preachers, theologians. What is the object of faith? There will be many who will say, just doing the sacrifice. Just doing the burnt offering, you're in. You're no better than that. The object of faith that they're learning, and I'll show you this, is that coming sacrifice, that coming Messiah, that coming Jesus. That's what it is. Their faith is not in them. Their faith is in this coming atoning work of Jesus Christ. Point six. Looking forward to the coming Christ, the coming Messiah, the coming anointed, whichever word you like, was his vicarious death for the redemption of sinners. Jesus Christ offering himself to God for the restoration of all mankind. Vicarious death. Okay. Very quickly. Here are the elements. Cup for us. Here's a cup. Here's a bread. Two ways I can look at this. One, there is something vicarious in this bread. There is something vicarious in this cup. And if I will take it, it will be transmitted to me. It will vicariously make me acceptable to God. So that's what a lot of people, that's what a group of people believe. Some people believe. All we can say with this bread and what this cup focuses me on is the one who is vicarious. And if I will believe in him, that faith will then transmit value to me. So we have two ways we can look at it. The offering, the communion elements, they offer me something meritorious, or they teach me something about Jesus Christ. I put my faith in Christ, and Christ is the one who offers something of merit to me. So is your faith in the taking of the communion, or is your faith in what the communion speaks of? Now, let's translate that here. Burnt offering. Does offering the burnt offering vicariously give you something? No. Because there'll be points in history of Israel where God will say, don't bring your offering, don't bring this burnt offering, don't bring this stuff to me. Hey, this is what you wanted. No, you missed it. You missed it. Just doing it doesn't mean anything. If it points you to the object of faith, my offering, then that's what I am looking for. Okay, so point seven, what is seen or learned of God, what is seen or learned of God is that we are considered His now. God considers us, if we put our faith in the burnt offering and the coming of the Messiah, we belong to Him. We have a covenant relationship with Him. Today, what would you and I say? We are sons of God by faith in Christ. Okay? Let's look at the meal offering. Not merely the amount of time, because that sets the momentum. People, every one of these are in the Passover, and the Passover is in every one of these. And in a way, each of these are in the other. There's some emphasis we like to make, but in a way, they're all teaching the same thing. The meal offering, also known as a tribute offering. Tribute. It's a bloodless offering. Unleavened cakes or grains must be salted. again voluntarily offered. What's the lesson? Okay, watch this. I am alienated from God primarily with the thought in mind, unbeliever, and through the burnt offering, and just through the God's offering, I am now united with God. If you understand, and I'm not talking about understanding a lot of doctrine, but if you really see, boy, I was alienated from God here, and now I'm brought back just because of what God did, it leads to, it should lead to thanksgiving, praise, thank you. I was alienated, and because of this offering, I'm now joined with you, and even here, though, I'm joined with you on the basis of your offering. That's why you still have a meal offering here. Okay, with that in mind, one, the lessons here, one, thankfulness for being in union with God. Thankfulness for the result of God's offering. Thank you. That's why a lot of Christians are so occupied with sin and so occupied with what man does. If we really appreciate what's going on, it just leads to, wow, thank you, Father. And there's a great response in this regard. Point two, thankfulness for the removal of the barrier of the enmity and the resultant union with God. Okay. Burnt offering, kind of like being joined together, married. And when you're married to one that you want to be married to, and you're high, boy, there's just a real thanksgiving for it that follows that. That's what we have going on with the meal offering. This is really phenomenal. Thankfulness for the removal of the barrier and the resultant union with God. Point three. Picture of Jesus Christ, parentheses God, falling to the ground, dying, and rising up, bearing fruit. Okay. Now, where does all this come from? I threw a lot out there. It's a meal offering. Meal offering is not involved with animals. It's bloodless. Okay, how can that be a picture of what Jesus Christ did for us? Okay, John, we won't turn there. I was going to, but for the sake of time, you'll have to go with me. John chapter 12, I believe it is, that we have this beautiful picture of Jesus Christ and talking about, will he go and die? And he said, yeah, you know, I don't have to go and die. But you know what? If I don't go and die, I'm talking about the God-man and his humanity, I'm going to be all alone for all eternity. It's going to be me. Whoa! I get to roam around in the Garden of Eden or wherever we want to talk about, forever and ever, all by myself. Go back to Genesis 1, 2 and 3. Not good that man be alone. So Jesus Christ is man now. So what's going to happen? And what did he talk about? He said, but if a grain, not an animal now, bloodless, if a grain falls into the ground and dies. Now, you remember this from your first year of biology, zoology, all that kind of stuff. He dies. The seed dies. If it will die, then it starts sprouting up. And if it sprouts up, we'll just give it a tree type thing. It can what? It can bear fruit. Now, what are the fruit? The fruit are all the believers you'll come to. And now what happens? Jesus Christ will be in eternity with all those who believe in him. So now, if you want to put it in simple terms, he now has friends to play with. He doesn't have to roam around heaven all day doing nothing by himself. Time to play solitary. You don't play solitary enough years. Then even that's old. So, and I'm being silly. So Jesus, what's the analogy? Not an animal dying, but in this meal offering, bloodless, okay, it's still the picture of death because the seed comes and falls in the ground, seed dies, and then the seed sprouts up. So it teaches them all those lessons there. And if properly taught, they saw all of this about the coming Messiah. And that's what Christ was referring back to in all of this. So, point three here, the picture of Jesus Christ, God, becoming man, falling, first of all, coming down out of the throne of God, coming to earth, and then falling into the ground, dying, rising up as the first fruit. Four. What is learned about the coming Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed? He is that kernel, that grain, that came down to the ground and died to bear much fruit. What is learned about God? His acceptance of us. His acceptance of us, his fellowship with us, based on his offer. Okay, so let's see what we got going here. If we follow this, we have salvation one, kind of really the pinpoint here. Then we have, what do we have here? We have, let's just jump to where you and I can talk. We have fellowship with God or the Spirit-filled life. Okay, communion with him, meal, offering, eating, Spirit-filled, fellowship with him. Okay. So that gives you that idea. Now, with that, see, what happens up, and we'll start here tomorrow night, but what I want to show you is how this is going to go. Salvation one, spiritual life, peace with God, union with God, as we walk in the Spirit. Ah! And then here it comes. Here we go. Boy, we're rolling good. Salvation one, spiritual life, peace with God. We're rolling along for 3 minutes, and then boom, it comes in our life. Okay, where are we now? We're back here. We're back right here again, like we were back up there. Only we don't have to go back up here. We don't have to go be saved all over again. See, we don't have to do that. Now, we've got two different offerings that are going to deal with, okay, your sin. Yes, it broke fellowship, but you're still under that covenant. We're still in covenant relationship, but we're going to take care of it. My offering is going to take care of it. The same offering that took care of your salvation one, being alienated from me, same offering is going to take care of what intrudes on it. These are going to be pictures of our life as Christians, as believers. Do you see what God is teaching you in this beautiful pattern? It's just a picture of our life. Salvation one, Spirit-filled life, peace with him, and all of these two are going to be a picture tomorrow night of salvation two, coming back with him. And if we kept it going, then you go back to the meal, the peace, sin, trespass. Meal, peace, sin, trespass. This one, boom. That's in. You're in. See? But why do we keep doing the burnt offering? Why? Because we want to be continually reminded, hey, this is how you entered. That's why this works. That's why this works, because that's how you entered. So just as you and I need constant reminding, God gave it to them. They're no different than we are. We're no different than they are. All the progress that man has made in the last 100 years, in the last 4,500 years, we're still the same. They're exactly the same. Man's soul has not changed one bit. The same soul. So here's a picture, and we'll complete this, and then tomorrow night we'll do the feast. Okay, let's close in a word of prayer. Any questions? Oh, I know, I'm so good. No questions. I don't believe that at all. Okay, let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do stand amazed and in praise of who and what you are. When we realize, Heavenly Father, that we are separated from you, that we have pulled away from you, that it is we who have turned our back, it is you who make atonement. It is you who makes all that is necessary for reconciliation and restoration in our Christian life. Father, we stand amazed of it as unbelievers and yet see it again in our Christian life of what manner of God you are. Over and over and over, Father, we learn what kind of God you are, of your grace and of your love. why you would desire to have fellowship with the finite man who will fail and fail and fail, praise and fail, praise and fail, and all these things is beyond us. We don't question it. We accept it and praise you. In your Son's precious name, amen.